Morning, everybody. Good to see each one the Lord's brought out this morning. It is a great privilege that the Lord has given us, another marvelous gift that he's given us, that we are able to come together to assemble here unmolested in the capacity of a called out assembly, his church, and we are able to worship him. What a mighty God who is so worthy of our praise, so worthy of our worship, so deserving of all that we have to give, to be given to him. And he's provided for us everything that we need to trust him and to obey him. What a God. This morning we're going to kind of back up and take a look at the big picture of God in control, which I use that term quite often. Wherever I go, God's in control. God's in control. By reminding myself of that and others, I am reminded that I am in his hand, that I am safe in his protection. God is in control. This morning we're going to look at the will of God. This morning, the early service will be sort of an introduction to the study of the will of God. And this second service, we'll hopefully dig deeper into the divisions of the will of God and some of the perspective that we need to have in order to trust him and to obey him. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for our sins. We are so thankful that you, as you have promised, meet here with us, lowly sinners, humble servants. Yet, Lord, we have been set aside for your service by your power and by the decree of your will. We praise you, Lord, for this time you give us to be together. We thank you for your word, the manna from heaven that you've provided us. Lord, we ask that you would empty our minds and hearts of the things of this world. Lord, that you would give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Father, we pray that you would be with each one who is unable to attend this service. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would return them here to this assembly. Father, we pray again that you would empty our minds of the things of this world and help us to focus on you. And would you teach us and reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in Proverbs chapter 21, in verse 1, the writer here speaks of the sovereignty of God. Proverbs 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. I want us to notice this morning that God is in control of all things. The writer of Proverbs here makes reference to nature. And we see everywhere we look in nature that God is in control. What makes the Escambia River run from up north to down south and empty into the Gulf? Well, God put it in its place. He set it up to run the way it does. And he not only allows it to continue, but he keeps it from changing direction. God is in control of that. Solomon says here, the writer of this proverb says, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. We are concerned a lot about our leaders these days because we see a lot of their heart by their actions. We see how they really are inside by the things they say and the direction that they want to take our country, and we're concerned about them. But as believers, we can rest on the fact of this first verse of Proverbs 21, the king's heart, the leader's heart, the president's heart is in the hand of the Lord. That's hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So in the exact same way that God controls all of nature, his creation, he is also in control of this world and in control of men, even though there is evil in the world. And we're going to see how God has allowed evil in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, yet through it, even though his obvious will was rejected, his revealed will was not followed, yet his will of decree, his ultimate will and control was not thwarted. It was not changed. And it's so today. God is in control of all things. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth what? The inside, the heart. God knows our heart, and not just ours. God knows everyone. He knew Pharaoh from the inside out, didn't he? Yes, he knows the hearts of men, and he controls the hearts of kings. Now, the term the will of God is used a lot today, but not well understood. What we as believers must do, what we as followers of Christ must do, what we as those who trust in him for all things, knowing that the king's heart is in his hand, knowing that he turns the king's heart, the desires of the king's heart, the same way he turns the rivers of water. Knowing that, what we are to do is to come to the Word of God with open minds. Now, it's common to come to the Word of God with something in mind that we already believe, and we want to find a way to prove it, to prove that we're right. And we need to go about following Christ through his word in a little different way, I believe. I believe we need to come to the word of God trusting this God who's in control of all things to reveal to us his truth out of it. And with an open mind, believing that God's word is true. We may not be able to fathom it sometimes with these finite minds. We may not be able to understand it to a satisfaction of our minds, but we still believe it. Why do we still believe it? Because we have faith in the sovereign God that wrote it, you see. We know that he's right. We know that it's true. We know that it's for us, and we know that it's the right direction for us. What he reveals to us and how he reveals himself to us through his word. We need to come to the word of God with open minds, expecting to be taught, not by me, but by the Spirit of God. He it is that reveals the Savior to us, because he alone can. Only the Holy Spirit reveals God and his wonderful work of salvation to the heart, to any heart. So as we come to the Word of God, we realize that the will of God is hard. It's a hard subject for us to wrap our mind around, if you will, to get a grip on. And the reason is we live in this sinful world, don't we? And we look around and we see so many things in the world that are contrary to God's revealed will, the Ten Commandments, if you will, and all of the instruction in God's book. We see that the natural man and his tendency is to go against that in almost any way we can. The natural man is just his heart. Remember, we're talking about what's inside. And our outward expressions and desires and directions in life are governed by what's inside, the desires of our heart. So we see so many things done in the world, and on the surface, we see that they are against the revealed will of God. What we must see is that God is in control, even if it doesn't look like it to us. God is in control. You remember Joseph, how his brothers deceived their father and told him that he had been killed by a wild animal. They sold him into slavery after putting him in a pit. And this was evil from the evil heart within them. It was evil, and they meant it for evil. Yet we see that Joseph, through prison and through all of the things he had to go through, being falsely accused, yet God was with him the entire time because God was in control of his situation. But it didn't look like it, did it? Not at all. Because those brothers of his meant evil toward him. Oh, but God's plan was to save his people. See, God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows what's going on in our life. He has a plan for us. And he keeps us on this path as we trust him. As we trust him for the direction that we need in our life every day. And right here in this word is where he instructs us. There was a great famine coming. And God, allowing Joseph's brothers to commit sin against their brother and against God, yet through their motive, God brought life. He saved the family at that time of Israel, the nation of Israel to be. God saved them. And he saved them through evil motives that Joseph's brothers had against him. Yet God was in control the whole time. And through this act of his brothers, God brought life. He saved his people. God is in control. The nature of will, the necessary nature of will, man has a free will. Let's talk about man's will for a minute. Man has a free will. But sometimes what people mean by this term, it's not what the Bible reveals about this term. Now, man's will is not free where sin is concerned. He's in bondage. Just like the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, so the sinner is in bondage to sin. What is meant by this? Sometimes men put this meaning on man's free will, and that is that man's will is actually kind of suspended in a state of neutrality between good and evil, between God and Satan. And it's taught widely in the world today that this is the case, that man's free will is suspended in neutrality with the ability to choose and decide spiritual or natural. Well, as we know, being Bible students, that is not the case, is it? No. We are not in a state of neutrality. We are in a state without Christ. We are in a state of condemnation, aren't we? We are. We haven't risen up to neutrality. Man, in his own devices and of his own nature, does not have the ability to ascend up, to reach neutrality. Man, of his own ability, is not capable of choosing good or evil. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we see this free will of man is not free, but rather is under condemnation. Why can't man please God? Because he's sinful, that's why. Because he is under the curse of condemnation because of the sin. So what happens when God saves us? Verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In the Spirit. That's that Spirit that's teaching us today. That's that Spirit that reveals God to us every day and draws us closer to Him. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So this body is dead. This body is separated from God. Why? Because of sin. Because of the sinful nature that dwells within it. Oh, but if the Spirit of God dwells within us, this soul is alive, not dead, because of the life that dwells within us. The Spirit of God that dwells within us. And we can please God in that new person. And I believe we do, as we rely on Him and trust in Him enough to have confidence that He is in control in our life. That these things that we're concerned about and worried about and spend so much time dwelling on, they're just like the hearts of the kings. They are in the hand of God. He will turn them where He wants. God really is in control of all things. Now, every intelligent being has a will and is subject to the intellect and character of that person. God's will is free, and His will is in keeping with His character. We can see, I was speaking earlier about our leaders, and we know, we can tell where their heart is because of where their actions are, because of where their desires are, because of the direction that they want to drive us in, those under them, and that will that they have will be according to their character. It'll be according to the desires of their heart. And we see that. And the same is true for us. We have a new will. And this will has been set free. Our wills, remember, were in captivity. We were captive by sin all of our lives with no way out. There was no way for the Egyptians to release the Israelite slaves. They were their livelihood. They did everything for them. They served them. But God, through His power, His will, released them from that bondage. And at that point, He rendezvoused with them, if you will. He was with them day and night in a pillar, remember, of fire and cloud, and He led them through the desert. That's exactly what He has done for us. He has set our wills free. Now, with the Spirit of God dwelling within us, now with this life in us, where there was no life, only death, only separation, now our wills are subject to our new character. Our new character. And the actions in our life depict and manifest that new heart and the character that comes from that new heart. That new heart has new desire to please God, doesn't it? You see God in control of that too? He's in control of that too. He freed us. He freed us. Yes, we were unable to choose good or evil, not being in a state of neutrality, but in a state of condemnation, trapped, slave. But praise God, He gave Himself as a sacrifice for us and for our life. He bought us. Why? Because it was His will. Because it was His will. And all things work together. All things now work together for good to those that love Him. We don't quite perceive the all things in this verse as we should. Not just things that we see going on in our life or around our life. No, all things. And it brings us to the thoughts of actions and reactions. Things that we say, things that we do, things that we feel, things that we think. All of these things have an effect on something else. It's like a domino effect. One domino trips the next one, and the next one, and the next one. But you see, God has lined up the dominoes. And not just in our life, but in all the lives, in every life, God is in control. He truly is. All things He works together for our good. We do have problems in our finite minds perceiving this vast control of God. We can't hardly get a grip on it because it's just too much. It's too big. It's too vast. It's too magnificent. I believe that we're going to spend all of eternity finding out more and more of how vast and how great our God really is. What a wonderful, wonderful God. God's will is an attribute that determines and executes every event. Providence, this is God's providing for us. This is God working all things together. Think of the dominoes. All together, they're perfectly lined up, you see. Providence is the manifestation of God's power and God's will working together, working in unity. He's got it all planned out, and He has all power to execute His plan. What a sovereign God. Sovereign God, sovereign. He's one, and He's over all. Over all things. Again, all events are sequential. They have an effect on another event, and another event, and another event. They all work together. All right, here's the question. How can God will sin? How can God will sin or allow sin but not be the author of sin? Isaiah 53 teaches us that God the Father willed for Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary, doesn't it? Before the foundation of the world, the Bible proclaims that He was the Lamb slain. That means that He was in God's direction. Yet the men that crucified Him, they did it through evil motive, didn't they? Just like Joseph's brothers, the same way. They had the same desire in their evil heart that said, we will not have this man rule over us. Remember why Joseph's brothers hated him? Because he had these dreams, and they were going to bow down to him in these dreams. He was going to be their leader, remember, and they weren't going to have that. We will not have this man rule over us. See, it's the same evil desire. Even in the Garden of Eden, what did the serpent say to Eve? God doesn't want you to be like him. That's why he told you not to eat of that tree, because you'll be God too. You'll be like God. You'll be in control. Nobody will be telling you what to do. It's the same evil desire from a fallen heart. God willed the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Yet, it was contrary to his revealed will for those men who crucified him, those that murdered him. The answer to this question, and the question was, how can God will sin but not be the author of sin? The answer to this question lies in the study of the distinctions of God's will. That's where the answer to this lies. And yes, God has two distinctions of his will. That's going to be our second message today. They are the will of decree. It always comes to pass. And it's God's secret will. It's not what he has revealed to us in his word, but it's the secret, determinate decree of God's will that always comes to pass. He's God. Whatever he planned, it comes to pass. Why? Because he's behind it. And then we have the second distinction of God's will being the will of approbation. The things that God approves of for us to do. All right? It's his revealed will. His revealed will. His revealed will is often not followed, isn't it? Even by those that love him. The things that he has shown us are his will for us in our lives. They are often disobeyed. But God's will of decree is never thwarted, never disobeyed. His power is executed through his perfect plan, you see. And he never fails. Never. We'll look into this further in our second service.